Bill Charmley and James Tam of the Environmental Protection Agency, Bill Charmley of the EPA, and Jim Tam of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, both recognized in the Science and Environmental Medal category, finalists for Service to America Medal this year for their work on standards for cars and light trucks on fuel economy and reduction of carbon dioxide emissions. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today, and congratulations on this. Jim, I want to start with you. Tell me about the work that you and Bill did together and your teams did together, and how you coordinated amongst the two agencies in order to move the ball forward.
Sure. Great. Thank you very much for the congratulations as well. I think on behalf of Bill and I, really, we believe this honor represents the and acknowledges the hard work and the dedication of the joint EPA and NHTSA and Department of Transportation team. The work that we did established fuel economy and greenhouse gas emission standards that will nearly double the fuel economy of vehicles in model year 2025 and cut the greenhouse gas emissions in half. The standards, we think, are a big win for the American public. They're going to address energy policy, environmental policy, and also they'll have a huge economic impact. We project that they will save drivers of vehicles around $8,000 in fuel savings, owners of vehicles in model year 2025. Related to the teams working together, that was a key element of this work, and I can't stress enough of how well our teams did work together. We basically, very early in these programs, we got together to organize our test plans, to basically to divide up work and to set up things. The program so that we would be sharing our research work and basically a lot of very close coordination. Also recognizing that federal programs can potentially, from two different agencies, could cause extra burden on industry. We recognize that up front, and we work very closely to align our standards to the greatest extent possible.
Bill, one of the things you told the Partnership for Public Service was that you asked, what are the real-world implications of a standard that requires certain technology? And you told them about the desire that you had to make sure that you were going to have industry do something that was within their capability of doing and still work within their business model, because after all, they're for-profit organizations, and we need their vehicles to drive the economy. How did you go about discussing these issues with the automakers to make sure that they understood that you were coming to them in a collaborative way and not a confrontational way?
Well, thanks, Francis. So for the technical staff that Jim and I led, we had, for these two programs that we put together that in total cover these 2012 through 2025 model years of vehicles, we had many, many sit-down meetings with the auto companies, literally with certainly the 10 biggest, maybe 15, 17 companies that provide, sell cars here in the U.S., really numerous technical discussions, understanding the cost implications, understanding their development process. We also spent a lot of time with suppliers who support the automotive industry. We did our own in-house cost estimation, working also on the outside with contractors for trying to get a very good understanding of the technical capabilities of the industry, but then also talking with the auto firms to understand the business side of it and how they could bring forward models over this period of time that we all believe that the customers will want. and that will provide the types of energy security benefits and environmental benefits that EPA and NHTSA were hoping that we could achieve with this program.
Jim, some of the technologies and some of the things that you did here sound really cool. The partnerships data says that you worked with automotive consulting firms on computer modeling to build virtual vehicles to give you projections of what some of the impacts on some of these changes would be, and that you were able to then change parts out, kind of reverse engineer the various components of a car to really have a sense of what would work better, what return on investment, what was worth it, what might not be. How did you go about brainstorming some of those ideas to decide that's how you want to try to move this forward?
Sure. Well, that was those elements were critically important to our technical analysis. And basically, we talked to industry. We talked to other researchers. We also have a fair amount of expertise in our staffs and basically did a lot of brainstorming up front to identify all of the technologies that we thought were in play in the time frame from 2012 through 2025. And then basically followed up on each of the individual technologies to get the best research available, do some modeling work, and some where possible get test data that would help inform the potential of each of the technologies to improve fuel efficiency. And there's a lot of complexity in combining technologies, but that was a big part of the modeling work was to put technologies together and to understand how they would play together and could improve fuel economy. One other thing I could mention, too, is important as it is to understand what the capabilities to improve fuel economy. It's also important to understand the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was work, and this is an area where actually EPA took extensive lead in our partnering, but where they did teardown studies of technologies to help understand the detailed costs for various new technologies. And so there was basically some work done there of analyzing specific designs to understand the cost side of the equation as well.
Bill, what you and Jim have described so far sounds tremendously complex, and to make it even more fun, you had a pretty tight timeline under which you had to execute this, right?
That's absolutely correct. We, as I said, we did this in two programs. When the Obama administration came in 2009, within just the first few months, the president asked EPA and NHTSA DOT to develop a program that would put in place this first phase, standards for 2012 to 2016, and we had, in essence, 1 year to do that. And so I think, as Jim and I mentioned before, that our staffs on both agencies are a group of extremely dedicated professionals, and people changed their vacation plans, canceled their vacation, worked overtime. So we basically ran as fast as we could for a year, and we finished that in April of 2010. And then we thought that we were going to have a little bit of a breather. And then literally about a month later, I think the administration was so happy with the reaction from all the stakeholders, the auto industry, state governments, consumer groups, environmental groups, and even the industry were asking us to provide a longer-term program that would look out to the 2020-plus time frame. So a month after we finished this first program, in less than a year, we were asked to work on this program that then went all the way out to 2025. So it was, from a timing perspective, extremely challenging. And really the only way you can do something like what we were able to accomplish is given the very dedicated team of professionals that we had to work with.
Bill, I'm reminded of something a friend of mine told me a long time ago. If you do too good a job of something, they'll ask you to do it again.
I think that's in essence what happened. Yep.
That sounds like it. I want to congratulate both of you gentlemen on this. It's a terrific honor, and it's well-deserved. The Service to America Medal, Science and Environment Medal, you gentlemen and your teams are finalists for this. One of your colleagues at EPA calls this, Byron Bunker, calls this the most incredible rulemaking processes that I've ever observed, and he would know. When you and your colleagues in the rulemaking community talk about this, what are the things that you recommend they keep in mind? Jim, I'll start with you since you're here in the studio. What should people who make rules keep in mind to get to the successful end where all the stakeholders are asking you to do more of it like it happened here?
Sure. Well, I would say do your homework. You basically do technical analysis. Make sure you've done the very best analysis that's possible to inform your rulemaking. Also, reach out and listen. Engage with stakeholders. Get all the information you can from stakeholders. Learn from their expertise. To the extent that you can, leverage other experts in academia and other researchers, go after that. But at the end of the day, balance all the information and, come up with the very best balanced rule and rules that achieve amazing benefits.
Bill, anything that Jim missed that you want to add for your colleagues in the rulemaking community?
I think the only thing I'd add to what Jim said, I know he would agree with me, is that the other mix that made this program, especially given the time frame that we worked on, is, Jim and I and our teams have enormous passion and dedication to the work. So as Jim said, you have to have all of those building blocks. But in our case, we had the enormous benefit of having just a wonderful group of people to work with that were really dedicated, that wanted to make a huge difference for the American people.